There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Radio Book Club. Members only.
Hello, welcome back.
Hi, Steph. How are you guys?
Really excited to see you.
Me too.
So we had a text in another one that I didn't read out before because I want to wait until you hear.
Okay.
And it's from a vet.
Ooh.
Who used to be sat in your seat, and she says, hello from a vet in France, she's left the country. I'm listening in, and I listened to the podcast last week, so I'm tuning in today to see if there's fair play on Word for the Week.
Steph, did you have something to do with this?
I didn't, but I think a vet might think that you have got a bit of favouritism going
on. I beg your pardon.
Hang on a minute.
I want it fair and square. I think I'm on about a three-week roll. Something like that.
Which is just,
it is strange because that's when Atlam took over about 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, Yvette Judge is a better judge than I am.
No, just judge by name. She wasn't always good. She did sometimes let you win, didn't she?
Yeah, sometimes.
So starting with a bit of book news and talking about when to ask for a book back. There was a story today that I saw about someone returning a book to the library in San Francisco. This was 43 years late.
Oh, wow.
And I thought to myself, how late is too late to ask for a book back that you've given to someone? Because I have lent one out at the minute and I had 25 pages left to read at the back. But they sort of said to me, oh, I'm just taking this and I'll give it back. And I didn't step in.
I know what you can say to her. You can say, I need to really speak about the ending on the radio, so can you give it back?
I need that book, please.
I need it.
I mean, in my day, when we used to go and get a book from the library.
During the war?
Yeah, in my day, there would be a fine if it went over the days. That there'd be a fine. So a 43-year fine is going to be a fair old bit of money. I think I'd have kept the book out of the library and not gone back.
I think they've let him off with it. But I know what you mean. I got blacklisted. My mum got me blacklisted when I was 7. Which is why I'm doing this now, and I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
At the library, because she didn't take back the books that she'd taken out for me. So I got blacklisted as a kid.
Oh,
terrible,
no.
Really. Mm. But do you lend books out to people?
If I lend books out, it's one of two things. One, either I don't like it very much, so I'm not expecting it back, or I love it very much and I want this person to read it, but I'll go out and get myself another copy. I don't expect anything back when I lend it out.
Really?
What's your book collection like?
I'm building a lot more now because I want to build a library. And before I didn't think about that, I may have bought a lot of electronic books and things like that, but I don't do that anymore because when we move to our new house in 2 years, I want to build a library.
Really?
Which is lovely, and I understand why. There's something about sitting in a library.
Yeah.
I'd love that too.
What, in your own house?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you can go back and read and see, oh wow, I was 17 when I read that and I was going through this, and you, it's kind of all of the your reading phases in life in one big library, and imagine years from now.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, are we talking like leather armchair, dark wood?
Dark wood, definitely. Oh, dark wood.
That's gorgeous.
So is that in place of the room that would normally have a pool table in it and, you know, a dartboard for the guys?
Normally.
Although I do love to play pool.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You didn't strike me as a pool player, but you love to play.
I do.
What
so
do
maybe it'll be a library with a pool table in it.
Maybe. But it would have to sink into the floor or something. You couldn't have it out all the time.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah.
It would lessen.
Get it on hydraulics.
No, I think just a library, maybe some orchids on the side.
That sounds pretty.
Some, you know, sunlight. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'm going to do a library, not a library, but a big bookcase, I think, in my next house. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm planning. Cool. So ethics-wise, when you do lend books out, what would you do if you got the courage to ask for your book back and then someone said to you, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't know you would want it back, so I've given it to someone else. Would you then go and ask the person that they'd given it to for the book back?
No, I would ask the person that I'd lent it to go and ask them.
Would you?
To get the book back, yeah.
Would you?
Because it wasn't theirs to lend.
Oh, but that's a big...
It was not their book to lend out.
If the book is easy to buy, though, because sometimes some books are very exclusive and you can't really get them everywhere. So that...
Yeah, but then you've got to spend your time going mooching around bookshops to try and find the book again, you know, especially if it's an old book.
And as a side, just quickly, how do you feel about folding pages in a book that you've borrowed?
No, I don't even fold my own.
Really? How do you know where you're up to?
Bookmark.
No one uses bookmarks.
I use so many bookmarks.
No.
I swear.
Nah, nobody uses bookmarks.
You know what I do?
I use so many bookmarks.
Yeah. I just fold the page. You
know. Fold the page.
Yeah, fold it over, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why they made them so
But then you've got your book with all these folded edges and you don't know which page you're on anyway.
Keep your thoughts coming in on that whilst we go to battle.
Misanthropic, ignominy, admonish, rapacious, incomprehensibilities. Word for the week.
Yeah. Are you listening, Yvette?
Hope you're listening really hard. Feel free to comment. So what was the word for the week this week?
Persiflage.
It was a strange one.
I've already forgotten what it meant.
Nothing wrong with a bit of persiflage. What does it mean?
It means making light of a situation or a serious situation.
Mm.
Like not getting your book back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might have got this wrong.
I used mine so long ago, I can't even remember using it. You used yours yesterday, which is good for you.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, normally your day of.
Yeah.
All right. You're going first.
All right. Fingers crossed. I've got a funny feeling. I didn't do... I might have got the meaning a bit wrong, but...
All right, because, stop you whinging.
Hang on. Just a minute. Because I thought it was light-hearted, good-natured banter for some reason. That's what I got in my head. Could it be...
I think the word we're looking for here is tough.
All right, let it roll. I'd had this invitation to go to the Tango Festival. There were a great bunch of people on the table, and we had, I don't know, quite a lot of persiflage going here and there. Cut a long story short, one of the professional dancers said, "Do you want to get up and have a dance?" I said, I can't. And she led me. She led me doing the tango around the dance floor, and it was amazing. I loved it.
I think Mark, I think you read half of the meaning. I think there was a second half of
So what
to
did
the
I
definition.
Say? There was a lot of persiflage going on this table, which had light-hearted banter.
Our place was full of persiflage.
Light-hearted banter.
Ridiculous. Would you like to hear mine, Aham?
Let's do it.
On the way, we will be looking at some stories that have stood out to us this morning. Tongue-in-cheek persiflage to be expected, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah, the confidence I used it with. Oh, it's like it's a word that I use every day.
It was absolutely average, and you know it. Anyway, it all comes down to Ahlam to, you know, choose. I don't think she's going to go my
Stop
way.
Stop doing your little sad eyes and stuff. Don't look at him, Ahlam.
I won't. Well, I'm looking your way this week.
You are? Get it. What? Hang on, I didn't have it ready.
She's not got a winning little thing ready. There we go. It's ready now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the winner is Steph Bergen.
Thank you,
everyone. Can I just ask Yvette Judge for a second opinion on that particular judging there?
Yes, Yvette, please
text in. A second opinion is definitely required.
You can totally ask.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
Indeed, Ahlam Baluki, who is Festival Director of the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, joins us once again to talk books. And she's got a brand new word for the week for us.
I like this one. It's extemporaneous.
What?
Which means off the cuff or done without preparation.
I feel like I've heard this in like shows where they've got lots of lawyers on telly.
What is it? Extemporaneous.
Extemporaneous.
It's going to be a nasty one this week.
It is.
Extemporaneous.
Maybe we should get you to spell it as well.
Yeah.
Dead right, Mark. This guy, you know, Dev texted in saying, you said he might be working at the airport.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dead right, Mark. It's the work. And Steph makes the departure lounge lighter every day.
Oh, you're on in the departure lounge.
That's
okay.
So funny, isn't it? That's hilarious.
No wonder there's a lot of people leaving.
So how do we spell this word, just for anyone? Because a lot of people have texted in before and say that they use this to teach their kids new words, which is amazing.
Oh, cool.
I mean, obviously, I know how to spell it.
Okay, so it's extemporaneous. E-O-U-S. Extemporaneous.
Extemporaneous. Right. Okay, take that forward and use it throughout the week. Good luck, and we'll see who used it best. We've got books for all kinds of travelling this afternoon. Don't worry if the furthest that you're going today is into the kitchen to make dinner. We've got a book for that as well, but we're going to start with a book to read on the plane or when you get to where you're going on a proper holiday.
Yes. So the book that I've got for the plane this week is The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. Carlo Rovelli has been said that he is the new age Stephen Hawking. Now with Stephen Hawking having passed away, we can take all the Stephen Hawkings we can get.
That's such a claim though, isn't it?
Yeah. But he... So time is what the book is about. And time is something that maybe a lot of people don't think about. You kind of think that it goes from past to present to future. It's measured by clock. But the more and more that scientists learn about time, the more mysterious it is. And a lot of the scientists believe that time isn't actually of the physical world. It is completely something from our perceptions and the way that we look at it.
I'm fascinated by this, yeah, because also if you think about it, there is no present at all. There is the past and there is the future. But when is the present, Mark?
Just when those words came out of your mouth. But now it's gone. It's in the past.
Exactly.
That's true.
I know. It's odd, isn't it? Yep. Well, I think this can really mess your mind up if you start thinking about it too much. But here's Carlo Rovelli, asking that big question. Does time really exist?
Time is about losing things or about opening new spaces. In both cases, it's emotional. Our life is finite in time. We're always confronting this finiteness.
Time actually passes faster here than here, and this can be measured with good clocks. In our experience, past is different from future, very much so. If you film something and project it forward and backward, it's completely different. Forward makes sense, backward doesn't make any sense. At the microscopic level, the fundamental equations of the world do not distinguish future from past. So it seems that time does not exist at some elementary fundamental level. It exists for us. But there are many things that exist for us and are not universal. Some people say, no, wait a minute, we can't even start thinking without time. So time is needed for thinking. It's just the beginning of everything. And others think that, no, we might think of the world without time or without this sequence of instants which we usually identify as time. And then the beautiful question is how from that timeless world our own experience of time emerges.
Do you know what worries me about this, Ahlam?
What is it?
How easy this book's going to be to read. Is it going to be like really difficult?
It's not going to be a breeze. I'm sure not. Maybe not because of the difficulty in the language, but just because, you know, stopping to comprehend the concept.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, could you work out what he meant with what he was talking there? 'Cause he lost me in the first five words, I think.
But he said something very important, which was time is something that we need because as human beings, you need order, you need to be organized, and you need measure against. I think so, because forget time in everything else in life as well. Everything is kind of structured in balance, in schedules, and you know, there's all this talk about balance of family and work and this and that. And I think all of it is due to the fact that we need to be a part of, belong somewhere and be a part of a certain faith and be this and be that. And there's so many things that we measure against as human beings because we need order or we need structure, maybe.
I don't know. I always read books like this and I think to myself, I always think about tribes back in the day in the middle of the jungle and what they would do. And I'm sure that what they would do would just be reactive. So it would be, I'm hungry, we're going to go hunting. Or, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Time. I was reading a really interesting thing about time in the UK, how everyone was on a different time.
Yeah.
They'd worked out, obviously this is morning, but they were all on a different time until the trains came in and then they needed a schedule because you could travel a certain speed from, say, Manchester to Scotland.
Yeah.
And they needed to know exactly when the train would arrive, which is why it's called Greenwich Mean Time, because everyone had to decide to use the same time and that's the one they went with.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But before that, everyone had different times. Mm. Within England.
I mean, time puts routine in your day, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I wake up at 6 a.m. And I know it's
show. Still don't understand why you do that.
And I know it's show. It's going to be showtime. I leave my house at usually about 8:30. So I'm here by 9. I know my showtime is 2:00. So it puts structure to my day. And I know when I get home about 9:30, I'm going to start thinking about going to bed.
That's so cute. But I think I like every day to be different schedule-wise. Like I get up and sometimes I take Simon to work and then go home and get ready, or sometimes I'll get ready in the morning so then I can go somewhere else and do my work.
So time then is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like the routine.
That's true.
Are you a routiner?
I mean, I would say, I don't know. I think I could survive without it. definitely. But I think to make most of your life or your day, you need structure. Because if you didn't have time, you'd kind of be late for everything and not fit the right things in the right places, not meet people in the right time. How would we live? We wouldn't really be making the most of our lives.
You just described Steph then.
We should all read this book and then we should reconvene and highlight different bits of it so we can bring it back and talk about it like a proper book club.
Yeah. Now, yeah. It says when you finish the book, you're not actually going to know if time exists or not, but you have a better understanding of why you don't know.
Right.
And they've also called Carlo the man who is making physics sexy.
Nice. Which is, yeah. It's important. Mm,
seriously?
Because if you can communicate it to the rest of the world, that's important.
Yeah, no, I love that. A quick podcast. Let's do that just quickly before we wrap for the headlines. What have you brought us this week?
The podcast I found I absolutely love, and it's one that I'm going to be listening to regularly. It's called Kerning Cultures. It's unique in that it's Middle Eastern young people all over the world telling their own narratives for people who don't have access to what life really is like within Middle Eastern culture or you know, just people in the Middle East in general. They're so pigeonholed into what the press tells you, what the media tells you, especially in a lot of places in the West. They might not know accurately what the stories are. So this is just a whole bunch of young people all over the world with some Arab background, but not necessarily with a belonging to a specific country, that just tell different stories.
We're going to come back, we're going to let you listen to a bit of it, and then we'll tell you some of the stories right after this.
Okay.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
And we are talking about books. However, there is always that time in your life when you can't read a book because your hands are busy doing something else. For me, it's when I go to sleep. I like to lie in the dark and listen to podcasts. Mm. Usually ones that scare me and then I can't get to sleep.
I find that very spooky. Mm. I really do. Very spooky.
You'd hate it the other night. I was on my own and I decided the best thing to do would be to listen to a podcast about how drowning works. Not good.
No. Oh, no. Do you listen to it in headphones or out loud?
Yeah, headphones.
Okay. Can't you just put a vinyl album on and make everybody smile?
No, because then I fall asleep during the podcast, so you'd have to get up and turn the album off. And
No, I fall asleep every night with the album still spinning.
Really?
Yeah, but it's, you know, it just ends and that's it.
But it does that thing.
No, mine doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Must be a fancy one. Yeah. How much are they paying you, Mark Lloyd?
Yeah, right.
He is the man. So we are talking about podcasts, and you found a brilliant one.
Yeah, I've listened to about three different ones, and I want to listen to every single one because they've just been so, it's so different. It's like nothing else that I've heard before, and it's anywhere between, so there's one called Where the Heart Is, so, you know, where you're based, but where do you feel like you're from, and it might not be where you're originally from or where you're based at all. What's in the name? You know, Arabs have this thing where people all over the world can't really pronounce their names, and, you know, they talk about that in a very interesting way. They talk about startups in Tunisia after the revolution. What is the startup scene looking like? They'd look at one called a Modern Love Story. Just simple. Someone just talking, you know, how they met, what they did, this and that.
Really good radio documentaries.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Unique voice.
Yeah, the one that I chose to have a little listen to is the one about the belonging, because, you know, I had a good listen to that, and it's so relevant to where we are. You know, we all come from different places, but we feel like we belong here.
That's true.
And that's what this particular clip covers.
I learned how to walk here, you know? I ate food from this land. Like, I swam in your oceans. I played in the desert. Everything about my life is associated with this land. And having no sense of permanence here really complicates that. And I sometimes wonder if, let's say, for some whatever reason, they grant me citizenship, would I be able to call this place home? You know? Is it just that? Or is it more than that? I don't know. I don't.
Today, we have a story about where we're from. Like that question you get asked when you're first introducing yourself to someone. My name is, I'm from this one place. It's like there's some societal expectation that it's meant to be a simple answer. But for many of us, and I, as Hiba, feel like this, the answer is never simple. So today, we're going to explore that. the messy, not straightforward answer of where we're from.
Yeah, that it so fits with Dubai, doesn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of kids here who will have grown up in Dubai. I mean, I came here when I was 24, and I feel like I grew up here because I had my 20s here.
Yeah.
So I, when people say where I'm from, like I've had 13 years mm-hmm. here.
You'll have established yourself
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to say where are you from, because I definitely don't have any real connections to where I was born anymore. It's a tough one, isn't it? And you've had a long time in
here. Yeah, more than half of my life has been spent here. I don't really have much connections at all with where I'm from originally. And then again, I was actually born in Canada, so I'm kind of all over the place here a little bit. And I fully understand that.
It's very common nowadays. The lines have become so blurred across everything, so many different categories with people around the world. So it's not just an Arab thing. You can relate to something like this as well.
And do you need to be from anywhere? Is the other thing, right? Where is home?
Yeah, I think...
Is it where your parents now are? Is it...
Otherwise, you're going to lose roots, aren't you?
But what are roots?
Roots are where you grew up, I think. Where you grew up as a child, say to about 14 or 15, those are your roots. They're still my roots in the north of England.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I still feel my roots are there, but I don't feel I've got as much in common anymore, but I still feel that those are my roots.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's definitely a sense of stability. There's a sense of belonging, background, heritage, all those things that make up who you are as well. It's not only you as an individual, I think. So in a way, I think it is important. But I think there's a lot of people finding a new way when they don't have a choice around the world today. So there isn't, I think we're very fortunate to be able, speaking of myself, to be able to call the place where I was born and came from home. But I think there is another way for people who have had to find their way in the world.
That's a really good podcast. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that one in. No so it's problem. Called Kerning Cultures.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to a few of those.
Kerning. I don't know why it was called Kerning, because I thought, she spelt it wrong, and it should be Turning Cultures.
So kerning is actually a technical term. It means the spaces between the letters in a font to make the font easier to read. And it's just, they've just used that to...
I didn't know that. I've learnt something today.
Ahlam is our new person in the studio who knows everything. I have one of them at home, Will, who knows everything. Yeah. And now I have one at work.
Great.
Now, you brought in a cookbook, which is really unusual. I was looking at this thinking, this looks so hard. I don't know if I would ever pick this up and then walk into the kitchen with it thinking I could make anything that looked good.
So I've never brought a pastry book to the show before, and mainly because I don't really like sweets. But I chose this because Japanese sweets are a little bit different. They're not too sweet. They're very unique in their style. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. But Kyo Tofu is a book of American classic desserts, but influenced by Japanese ingredients and Japanese techniques. I went to Japan on my honeymoon, and I don't know what it is about Japan, but everyone that goes there comes back obsessed with the culture, with the food, and their food is just... They have a whole new approach to food. They teach their kids to admire the food before eating it, look at it first, smell it. Everything is so well balanced in their diet, and the author actually thinks that is directly related to the fact that Japanese are amongst the healthiest and longest living people in the world right now.
Okay, we need the book. We definitely need the book.
So is it Kyoto? Is it from Kyoto? Is it recipes from Kyoto?
Kyoto food. Yeah, so it's the author is very influenced by Kyoto and inspired by it rather than Tokyo, where which is more of the city. Kyoto is more cultural. Mm. Has
Did
more
you
heritage.
Go there?
I didn't get a chance to go there, no.
Okay.
But I definitely want to go back. So it used to be, this is a restaurant. Kyo Tofu used to be a restaurant in Manhattan's Hell's Kitchen area. It was a restaurant and bakery for 7 years, very successful, highly rated amongst difficult critics in New York. But after 7 years, the author realized that it's the pastry or the bakery part that she's more interested in. So she turned it into she closed the restaurant and turned it into a much bigger and better pastry shop. So some of the ingredients in the book, I'll tell you the ingredients first and then some unique recipes. So anko is a sweet bean paste. If you go to Japan, I think you'll find it in a lot of sweets. So they use that in their sweets a lot. Agar-agar, which is a vegan alternative to gelatin used to thicken the desserts. Nashi pears, which is a crisp texture, kind of like an apple, but tastes like a pear.
Okay.
And there's a really nice nashi pear crumble in the book. And kurosato, which is Japanese sugar. So she describes a bunch of ingredients first, and then she goes into the recipes. And they have things like green tea, white chocolate cupcakes, matcha creme brulee, sweet...
Oh, what?
Yeah, amazing.
Love
amazing
a creme brulee.
And sweet miso ice cream with saffron caramel sauce. Arabs love saffron, so that's just a fusion from all of them.
Yeah.
Black sesame caramel mousse. These are just some of the things in the book. So
that
it's
sounds
really,
delicious.
Really...
Do they look really difficult to make? And does it look like we'd struggle to find any ingredients?
No, actually. I haven't actually tried it myself, but it does look simple. I think Japanese is all about the ingredients.
I always feel like Japanese portions are so small that I'd have to triple the recipe.
But so flavorful.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it, even the, you know, when you eat sushi and stuff, it's filling, even though it doesn't look like a huge portion.
If anyone has any tips on where you can buy Japanese ingredients, let us know on 4001. I have seen some things in the organic store that are Japanese. They have a little section, and I see them, and I always look and think, I would never know what to do
I'm
with
sure
them
there
that.
Must be a store here that's full of them.
Do you think?
You can get everything in Dubai.
You can, but I haven't ever seen a Japanese store. I've seen a Korean supermarket, but
if
I haven't
If anyone
seen...
knows, that's the key. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it's called Kyotofu.
Yes, Kyotofu by Nicole.
Sounds like
Berman
a goodie
Soul.
To me.
That
like
is
it.
Your cookbook. We're going to come back. We've got more books for you when we do. We've got one for the kids, actually, written by a radio DJ. But it's not either of us, so it's good.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
Into a good book with Ahlan Baluki, who joins us every single week to do this from the Festival of Literature, which we're very excited about. Are you already booking people for the next one?
Yeah, we are. We've gotten quite a good amount of confirmations as well.
Oh, so... If I was to write a book right now, would I be too late?
I'd imagine, unless you can get it published within the next
I doubt
month.
I don't know. We know a few people. Fun.
Just say, no, you're not coming.
We just talked about a great Japanese cookbook, and we were saying, oh, is it difficult to get Japanese ingredients in Dubai? And we put it out there, didn't we? Does anyone know of anywhere to buy them?
Yeah, Sohel texted in saying, hi, guys. There is a big Japanese store just opposite Lampsi Plaza in Udmitha. It's a really very big Japanese supermarket. Give it a try.
Love that. Do you know what we call that? Listenerpedia.
Yeah. They know more than we do.
They do. So you put That's something cool. out there and they can answer it. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
So clever. They should all be on the show. In fact, they should all get paid being involved in the show, don't you think?
Yeah. So hell, Steph will be sending you your 500 dirhams for that after the show.
We need a book for after work.
So the book for after work this week is Down to the River and Up to the Trees by Sue Belfrage. It's her first book. It's a book about connecting with nature, no matter where you live, even if it's in the city or, you know.
It's important to do that, isn't it?
It is. And if you feel attracted to this kind of concept, then you know on some level already that it's good for your health, for your immune system, for de-stressing, for aligning your chakras or whatever it may be.
Where do you do it in Dubai?
So, you know, we have the ocean here. We have the sea. So you can connect by water. And the book is actually divided into different parts of nature. So there's like the earth section. Then there's the sky, the water, the wood. So wood can be in the desert.
Yeah.
And feather, fur. So talking about birds, talking about animals, things like that, depending on where you are. And then each section. So, for example, for earth, there is a map of smells. There is grow your own and what's good enough to eat and things like that. With water, it's fishing, rowing a boat, crabbing, or just simply looking at seashells. You know, if it's wood, then it's making a fire, carving a spoon, whatever it may be.
I like this. Mm-hmm. Reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's hear Sue Belfrage. It is her first book, and here she is reading a little bit of a passage from it.
If you ever feel disconnected from your surroundings, go outside and stand barefoot for a moment or two. Take a couple of deep breaths and focus on the uneven surface under your soles and toes. If you prefer to ground yourself by getting your hands dirty, try foraging for wild foods or consider growing your own. Perhaps build a wormery or walk somewhere new that leads you into the past. Create a sense of rootedness and belonging wherever you find yourself by familiarising yourself with the smells, sights and tastes that surround you. Discover the plants that thrive against the odds and hidden wildlife. Welcome yourself back to where you belong. Live in each season as it passes. Breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, and resign yourself to the influence of the earth. Choose a place that you can visit easily. It could be your garden or balcony, an allotment or stretch of hedgerow, perhaps a park bench, or even the corner of a car park. Somewhere you can go and sit or stand without being disturbed for a few minutes. Turning off your phone will help. Don't worry about being stared at. Most people are too busy with their own stuff to notice if you sit quietly. Mark out an area that's about 1 metre or an arm span square. Think of it as a pillar that stretches from the ground up into the sky. Now focus. What can you see? What do you hear, smell or sense? Is there anything in particular that delights you? What difference do you make being here now? And what difference might you make without disturbing the habitat of any creatures that live here? If you like, why not return here once a day or once a week for a month? Make a note of your changing observations as time passes.
It would not work on a building site.
No.
Or wouldn't. On a car park.
No.
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 But
the hedgerows are all right.
Yeah. I used to like Saffa Park.
Yeah, I love Saffa Park.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm. You know the cafe in Saffa Park?
Yeah.
Just behind that, there's a little patch of grass and then some hedges and then the trees and then the skyline. And it's just amazing.
I think part of Saffa Park is open now, though.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Part of it is.
And I only live across the bridge from it and I still haven't been yet.
To Saffa Park?
Since it reopened. Mm. Has the cafe reopened, do you know? I wonder.
I don't know.
That was great, sure. Wasn't it? Mm.
Mm-hmm. I've got a park that's very close to me. It's called Nadalhama Park. Yeah. And it's not a big park, a small park, but lots of trees. And what she was talking about, the sounds, you know, every morning I'll go in and you can hear the birds twittering and different kinds of birds and the leaves, you know, and it's just a great feeling.
Mushroom Park's also quite good for that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've got loads of places in Dubai where we can, you know, do what she does in the book.
And if it's not the park, then it's the desert or it's the sand and by the beach. So it can be anything.
Down to the river and up to the trees. Sue Belfridge is the author of that book. Mm-hmm. The next one we're going to look at is for the little ones. If they're travelling or if they're just travelling into the land of Nod at night time and you want a good book to read to them. This looks like quite a big one for kids. Am I right in saying that?
Actually, yeah. I can't remember how many pages it is. I'm not sure.
It looked a bit thicker than the usual, like 15. More for older children?
Yeah, it is not too old. I think the 12 to 15... category. I thought Mark would like this one since he has a grandson coming on the way.
Yeah, daughter.
Well, granddaughter. We think it's a granddaughter, but they can never be 100%, can they?
No, they can't. And it's on its way now. This moment, I'm straight after the show.
Wow.
I'm off. Yeah.
Have you had any updates?
Yeah, they're making a walk around a lot, and that's what she's doing at the moment.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's we're looking like it could be today.
Are you going to stay all night?
Of course I am. Yeah. Aww. Well, you expect me just to go and then, I'll see you in the morning. I'm going home.
I've got my tea. Yeah. Got to be in bed by 9:30.
Yeah, I've got an album to play.
Are you going to reveal the name tomorrow on the radio?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I'll reveal it tomorrow.
And I would get some good sleep tonight if I were you. This could be the last night.
It could be, couldn't it? Yeah, it could be. But this radio DJ that's written a children's book, well, he actually does the breakfast show on Absolute Radio, which is it's a big station in the UK. So what he did when he wrote this book, he had a little lad come on to interview him about the book, and this is how it sounded.
That's adorable.
So tell us, as a superstar DJ, one of the biggest radio stations in Britain.
Yeah, I'd say in the world, but yeah, let's say Britain, okay.
What made you want to write a children's book?
I've always put off doing a kid's book because it struck me as quite a lot of hard work and I'm quite a lazy person. But then about a year and a half ago, I was at a big comedy festival and I was away from home and I was missing my kids. And so I started to write this idea just for my own enjoyment. And I printed a couple of chapters off, gave it to my kids, and they kind of liked it. and I gave it to someone called my agent. That's like my kind of manager. They sent it around to a couple of book companies, and then now it's out. So it took about a year to write, a lot longer than I thought. But I really, really enjoyed it. It was great fun.
Any chance you might give up your day job if you become the next best-selling children's author?
No, because I love doing this job. It's the best job in the world to do this. I'd like to do both. What I will do, though, is I'll give myself a better car, and I say to the boss that I will start the breakfast show from, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. These are great questions, by the way. They're a lot better than the kind of questions I normally ask, so you're very good.
A lot of people think that writing a children's book is easy, but a year...
Yeah, it's hard. I think writing a children's book is more difficult than writing an adult book. You've got to cover things up so cleverly. But the book is the sequel to the original Radio Boy. And in the original Radio Boy, this little 11-year-old awkward boy called Spike makes his way into becoming a superstar radio DJ. And in this book, he has a friend or a frenemy, if we can call him. His granddad has just been left his grandma just left his grandfather. His grandfather comes to stay with him, Granddad Ray. And to cheer him up, he invites him on the radio. And he is such a hit that he decides to keep him as a team member.
Whoa, and then that's how I got my job.
Yeah.
And he realizes that his grandpa only has 3 stories that he keeps repeating. And so he has to sack his grandpa. And his grandpa's now seeking revenge. So.
Oh, tell the grandpa he can come and join our team on the ticket.
That sounds awesome. Kids are going to love that. I would love reading that, actually.
Me too.
So it's called Radio Boy and the Revenge of Granddad by Christine O'Connell.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love it. Yeah.
We have run out of time, as always. We had one more book to get to. We'll have to do it next time.
Yeah. We'll put it back to the next one.
Aklan, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. So much fun.
Also, thanks to everyone who texted in. There was a couple more coming in. It's a Japanese bakery shop on Alwassel Road opposite Saffa Park, apparently.
Oh, that's so
good. We're finding loads now, aren't we?
Yamanote.
And also Gourmet Ya in DIFC. All Japanese ingredients there. They're everywhere. How come we didn't know about these?
Fantastic.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.